is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Agra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci, Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice, samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Keddie on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wavefarm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wavefarm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you. Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Volusia, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that the New York State Department of Public Service will hold a series of public meetings on a proposed New York State Electric and Gas Corporation rate hike. NYSEG, which provides electric service to portions of Greene and Columbia counties, has requested the Public Service Commission to approve changes to annual electric and natural gas delivery rates. NYSEG is proposing to increase its electric delivery revenue by approximately $274 million, a 31% hike in base delivery revenues for the company. If approved, the rate increases would take effect on May 1, 2023. The Department of Public Service will host a series of virtual public statement hearings on the rate hikes beginning September 15th, with hearings scheduled at 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. State residents are able to provide their comments to the Public Service Commission about rate changes. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said the county is encouraging NYSEG customers to express their opinions about the rate changes to the state agency. Quote, "I think when people see those numbers, they're going to say, what?" Unquote, Groden said, quote, "Why are these things going up so much? I don't know if there's a correlation between the fact that we're pushing to more green energy, which is more expensive. There's a benefit to green energy, but now we're going to agree to pay 50% more because we're going to use solar," unquote. Additional virtual Department of Public Service hearings on the NYSEG proposal will take place on September 28th and October 18th at 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. each day. Last week, National Grid announced its residential natural gas customers should expect to pay an estimated $263 more on their heating bills beginning in November and continuing through the end of March. National Grid electric customers will pay approximately 22% more than last winter. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that Federal Bureau of Investigation officials arrested Jason T. Schofield, the Republican Rensselaer County Board of Elections Commissioner, on September 13. Schofield and other Republican officials have been under investigation for alleged election fraud there in recent elections. In June, Troy councilperson Kimberly Ash McPherson pleaded guilty to a federal criminal charge in the investigation examining ballot fraud allegations. The Times Union reports that Mary E. Sweeney, the county's Democratic Deputy Elections Commissioner, testified last week before the federal grand jury in Albany, and I quote, as federal authorities zeroed in on Schofield's use of an online portal to obtain absentee ballots, end quote. The newspaper also reports that several Republican employees at the Board of Elections were also subpoenaed this summer to testify before the federal grand jury in Albany, and the county itself received a federal grand jury subpoena for materials related to absentee ballots that had been handled by Schofield last year, including through a state-run online portal. Ash McPherson, who has since resigned from the Troy City Council, admitted that she fraudulently submitted absentee ballots in last year's primary and general election. Her plea agreement named Schofield as the unidentified Board of Elections official listed as, and I quote, Individual 3, end quote. According to the plea document, Schofield allegedly helped Ash McPherson obtain an absentee ballot through an online portal using the name and date of birth of a voter without, and I quote, lawful authority, end quote. Besides the federal probe of Republican election irregularities, the state police are conducting a separate investigation of alleged ballot fraud in the city of Rensselaer's mayoral race last November. In addition, Republican Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin pleaded not guilty to two felony charges involving his alleged theft and misuse of campaign funds. Republicans in Rensselaer County, caught up in the election investigations there, have denied any wrongdoing, saying they were taking advantage of a directive from the State Board of Elections that allowed individuals to use absentee ballots if they did not want to vote in person due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Rick Carlin reports for the Times Union that General Electric Company has agreed to conduct a study of possible PCB and other contamination in the lower Hudson River from the Troy Dam to New York Harbor. The agreement was announced by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency on September 13th. New York parties, led by Department of Environmental Commissioner Basil Sagos, as well as the Hudson Riverkeeper Group, have maintained that more studies as well as additional dredging will likely have to be done. GE has taken the position that its dredging was completed in 2015 when, following an agreement with the EPA, they removed approximately 2.5 million cubic yards of PCB-laden sediment from a 40-mile stretch of the river between Fort Edward and Troy. The contamination dates from the 1940s to the 1970s, when GE regularly discharged PCBs into the Hudson River from its capacitor plants in Fort Edward and Hudson Falls. While it was legal to do so at the time, the dumping sparked worries about pollution since PCB is now considered a probable carcinogen. Under the new agreement, GE will develop a plan for, quote, extensive water sediment and fish sampling between the Troy Dam and the mouth of the New York Harbor, unquote. The organization will look for evidence of PCBs and other contaminants as well. New data is needed to determine the best path forward, according to the EPA. This is being done in advance of what could be formal studies that could come before a cleanup plan. EPA Regional Administrator Lisa Garcia said in a statement, quote, the information will help us determine whether and how to prioritize investigations in each portion of the lower Hudson and how to best address contamination, unquote. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the State Health Department reported 8 more deaths in the Hudson Valley from COVID-19. 3 of those deaths were in Orange County, while the other deaths were in Columbia, Putnam, Ulster, and Westchester County. As the deaths continue, elected officials keep removing mandates meant to protect individuals from the virus. Masks, for instance, are not required any longer on mass transit in New York. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
Former Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan was sworn in as the new congressperson in New York's 19th congressional district on September 13th. Ryan, a Democrat, fills the final weeks of Antonio Delgado's term after he resigned to become New York's lieutenant governor. Ryan spoke briefly, standing next to local representatives Paul Tonko and Sean Maloney on the U.S. House floor after he was sworn in.
This is a moment of immense consequence and challenge for our country. I truly believe it is an all-hands-on-deck moment for our democracy. And I pledge that I will fight every single day with every ounce of my being to deliver for the great people of New York's 19th district and to renew trust and faith in our nation. Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, colleagues, and I yield back.
Ryan was assigned to the Armed Services Committee.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that on September 12th, Governor Kathy Hochul's office announced that the New York Power Authority was giving an Israeli firm a $1 million grant to develop fast-charging battery capabilities for electric vehicles. To phase out gas-fueled vehicles in New York, the state will need to have many fast-charging stations for cars and trucks throughout the state. Hochul said, and I quote, "Through key strategic partnerships, New York is driving the advancement of cutting-edge clean energy technologies that will have a global impact in the fight against climate change. New York's collaboration with the State of Israel, a hub for innovative clean energy technologies, will deliver forward-thinking solutions that will strengthen New York's EV infrastructure," end quote. While California has mandated that no fossil fuel-powered cars will be sold after 2035, New York has yet to announce a similar mandate. Read the full story at New York State of Politics.
Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman that the next Ulster County executive will be chosen as part of the November 8th general election, not at a special election in December as had been originally anticipated. Elections officials initially believed there would have to be a special election in December to fill the seat, but officials said on September 13th that the county administrative code requires that the election be held on the same day as the general. The code states, quote, "If said vacancy may be filled by a general election to be held no more than 180 days after the vacancy occurs, then no special election shall be held, and the vacancy shall be filled by a general election," unquote. Ulster County Republican Elections Commissioner John Quigley said that holding the election for county executive at the same time as the general election will save taxpayers approximately $300,000. Former Executive Pat Ryan resigned on September 9th after winning election to the 19th congressional district seat. He was sworn in to Congress on September 13th. Quigley said political parties have until September 19th to file nominating certificates designating their candidates for the election. Democrats will hold a nominating convention on September 17th to select their candidate. Ulster County Comptroller March Gallagher, former State Senator Jen Metzger, and Deputy County Executive Mark Ryder have all said they will seek the nomination. Quigley said the Republican Committee's executive board will select a candidate if someone interested comes forward. The Conservative and Working Families Party must also nominate a candidate by September 19th. Independent nominating petitions must be filed no later than September 23rd. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Sarah Rizzo reports for New York 10 in Albany that the New York State Board of Historic Preservation has recommended adding two properties in Columbia County to the state and national registers for historic places: the Muldor Miller House and the Red Sox Schoolhouse in Columbia County were among 27 locations throughout the state recommended to be added to the state and national list of historic places. The Muldor Miller House is a Greek Revival farmhouse built in 1790 and is a rare surviving example of an early house in Claverick. The property has ties to the region's Dutch colonial period with slaves there. The Red Rock Schoolhouse was built in 1830 and taught children through 1943. The one-room schoolhouse was also built in an early 19th century Greek Revival style. Read more about this story at the News 10 website. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 78 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 51 degrees. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 67 degrees. and Thursday night mostly clear with a temperature low of around 45 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Wednesday, September 14th, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM WGXC, including at noon, Catskills' Spike Priggin beams in with the Bedazzled Radio Hour for 2 hours on 90.7 FM. At 4 p.m., it's time for the WGXC Afternoon Show live from Accra, and we will hear all about the Hudson Valley Community Action Network show at Basilica Hudson on September 15th. Plus the WGXC Congressional Report about what the local elected officials and candidates are up to. At 7 p.m., we are live from New York City with the Off the Hook Show, simulcast from WBAI from the Hacker Quarterly 2600, all about technology. And Neva Wartell has music for the masses at 8 o'clock, and at 10 p.m., it's time for Dance Hall Reggae on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Ketty on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th, from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Hey, man, I haven't seen you around for a while. Where you been? You know, I just been woodshedding. Oh, yeah, where's that? Oh, out in the woodshed. Oh, cool, dude, cool. What you working on? Oh, you want to check it out? Yeah, I got it on my mini disc player. Oh, yeah, let me hear it. Yeah, that's something I've been working on out in the woodshed. Oh, yeah, I like that sound, man. Hold on, let me play you something I got on my new DAT. Yeah, it's a DAT player. I've been working on it outside in the garage. Hold on, let me get it for you. Okay, put your headphones into this magic. Oh, that sounds eerily similar, but I really like it. Yeah, hopefully we can play together sometime so we can gang up on some serious power chords. Like this one? What about this one? Yeah, I like that one. We'll see you around, man. Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 10 p.m. till midnight. Tune in.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, September 14th. Local early morning temperatures range from 52 degrees in, let's say, Medusa to 57 in Saugerties. Regional average soil temperature is 66. Today will be dry and partly cloudy with a high of 77 at 4 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 50 degrees, then we see sunny skies and a high of 70 happening at 4 p.m. Overnight, it gets chilly, hitting 45 degrees. Then we see 74 on the thermometer in the afternoon on Friday. 52 degrees overnight takes us into a partly cloudy Saturday with a high of 78. Looks like it's going to be good camping weather. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:43 a.m., high tide at 6:30 a.m., low tide again at 12:52 p.m., then high tide once again at 6:57 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 74 degrees and the current will be strong. Sunset today will be at 6:55 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:30 a.m. Looking way up, we see flare activity is moderate today with 30% chances of M-class and 5% chance of X-class flares. Solar wind speed is currently 312 kilometers per second at 45.2 extra thick protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are improving. Currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight with good conditions below 15 megahertz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 93. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Leah Bertucci of Ridgewood, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I am Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
Come listen to Catskill Cabin Getaway on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
That's the third Thursday each month.
Or you can listen to our podcasts. Just go to WGXC/something.
It's Catskill Cabin Getaway, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's check it out.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland, Thursday morning, December the 12th, 1901.
Siamo lieto di poter rievocare, in poche parole, le esperienze delle prime trasmissioni radiotelegrafiche a grandi distanze, da me felicemente eseguite attraverso l'Oceano Atlantico il 12 dicembre 1901. Queste esperienze provarono conclusivamente che la trasmissione e la ricezione delle onde elettriche non erano affatto limitate, come a quel tempo credevano tutti gli scienziati alle brevi distanze, bensì potevano essere utilizzate per le comunicazioni fra il vecchio e il nuovo mondo.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
You know, I call it a witch hunt. And it is a witch hunt.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
And which kind of witch are you?
It's a witch hunt, that's all it is. The witch hunt, as I call it. Witch hunt. This is a witch hunt like nobody's ever seen before.
Thousands of people were executed in Europe on suspicion of witchcraft.
I saw Bridget Bishop with the devil.
There's a lot to be offended by Donald Trump, and I think his use of the term witch hunt is very low on that list of priorities for most witches.
The entire thing has been a witch hunt.
I'm not a witch.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
And it is a witch hunt.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
It's a witch hunt, that's all it is. The witch hunt, as I call it. Witch hunt. This is a witch hunt like nobody's ever seen before.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Campaign Legal Center just shared an article on red boxing, the slimy way that campaigns and political action committees are navigating around federal campaign finance rules. The new limit for a personal contribution to a campaign for federal office is $2,900 per person. But for a super PAC, there are no limits to donations. And the super rich can give huge amounts, but only if the super PAC doesn't give the money to the candidate and there is no coordination on spending or strategy between the candidate and the super PAC. But campaigns are using a special spot on their public websites, often surrounded by a red box, to send a message to super PACs supporting their candidate on what needs to get done. The Campaign Legal Center says that phrases like "voters need to see" signals messages to be delivered by TV ads, "read" is asking for direct mail, and "see on the go" is a request for digital ads. In the 2016 presidential campaign, candidate Carly Fiorina's Carly for President team used such red box techniques to communicate the candidate's schedule in the New Hampshire primary, while the Carly for America super PAC scheduled the venue, provided the staffers, and communicated the event. Both parties used this sleazy practice, and so far the Federal Election Commission has not taken substantive action. Links to the Campaign Legal Center article are at our website, americandemocracyminute.org. Granny D said, democracy is not something we have, it's something we do. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I'd be honored if the people of New Hampshire would elect me again as their governor. We have a lot more to do to protect the interests of New Hampshire citizens.
New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu won the Republican nomination as he tries for a fourth term and will face Democratic nominee Dr. Tom Sherman. State Senate President Chuck Morris and retired Army General Don Bolduc were deadlocked for the Republican nomination with 44% of votes counted. The winner will face incumbent Democrat Maggie Hassan. Democratic incumbent Governor Daniel McKee will face Republican Ashley Kalis in Rhode Island's general election. And for the 2nd House District, Democrat State General Treasurer Seth Magaziner will run against Republican Alan Fung, the former mayor of Cranston. President Joe Biden and the First Lady flew to Wilmington, Delaware last night and cast their ballots shortly before the polls closed for local and statewide primaries. Three new members of the House were sworn in after winning special elections, giving Democrats a 9-seat majority, including Democratic Congresswoman Mary Pelota of Alaska and two New Yorkers, Democrat Pat Ryan and Republican Joe Sembolinski. Kenneth Starr, whose Whitewater investigation led to the impeachment of former President Bill Clinton, has died at the age of 76. He was also on former President Donald Trump's legal team in his 2020 impeachment trial. Starr told Congress, like war, impeachment is hell.
It's filled with acrimony and it divides the country like nothing else. Those of us who lived through the Clinton impeachment understand that in a deep and personal way.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham made waves Tuesday by introducing federal legislation to ban abortion after 15 weeks, with few exceptions.
If we adopted my bill, our bill, we would be in the mainstream of most everybody else in the world.
Several Republicans appeared surprised by the announcement. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer condemned the bill as he joined a White House celebration of the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act.
We're here to talk about things that matter to families, lowering costs, creating jobs, and helping them make ends meet. What are the MAGA Republicans doing over in the Capitol today? Introducing national bans on abortion.
Consumer prices rose in August, up 8.3% over last year. The news bucked expectations of inflation dropping slightly. Twitter shareholders approved Elon Musk's $44 billion buyout, while whistleblower Peter Zatko told Congress the social media giant lacks procedures used at other tech companies.
The employees then have to have too much access to too much data and to too many systems. You can think of it this way, which is it doesn't matter who has keys if you don't have any locks on the doors.
Zatko told lawmakers the FTC is in over its head when it comes to regulating tech companies who simply price in the cost of fines as the cost of doing business. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to the January 6th hearings, which will finally determine the criminal culpability of former fake president Donald Jessica Trump. Now let's go to some behind-the-scenes DVD extras from his pre-recorded address to the nation on January 7th. Okay, whenever you're ready, sweetie.
And we are rolling. Everyone, please clear the set. We're rolling. Thank you. Okay, Mr. President, you're on in five.
You got this, bitch.
Three, two.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday.
Sing out, Louise.
But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say...
Just say you're a big fat loser.
My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote.
Let's take that again.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. Yesterday is a hard word for me.
Yesterday. Such a complicated word to say. When his dentures start to slip away, he's not okay with yesterday. Plain to see how he screwed with our democracy. Binging Big Macs while he watched TV. This just ain't on our history.
Joined now by the man everyone's talking about, Attorney General Garland. Judy, seditious conspiracy, espionage, bad hair. What the hell is it going to take to nail this guy? No pressure.
The Justice Department has been doing the most wide-ranging investigation in its history.
Well, step on it, sis, because he's getting ready to announce, and we cannot let him be president again. I'm running out of show tunes.
The Justice Department has, from the beginning, been moving urgently to bring to justice everybody who's criminally responsible for interfering with the peaceful transfer of power.
We said, girl, time to go.
He said no.
That piece of trash. He cried, stop the steal, grab the wheel, and try to crash the country. Misery. On that awful January day, when Josh Hawley tried to join the fray.
What?
Not the slimy, awful GOP. When they broke into his property for national security. He's done every crime. Now it's time to crush this clown. Go and lock him up, or he'll flush this country down the toilet. Yesterday. Please don't take us back to yesterday. Get your sh- together, DOJ, and prosecute like yesterday. Lock him up like yesterday.
Please.
We will have the evidence.
Step on it, sis.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Joshua Cohen, who is a director of the Hudson Valley Climate Action Network, which is a new group just relatively launched. And Joshua, so what is the Hudson Valley Climate Action Network and why are you involved?
Thanks, Mark. So the Hudson Valley Climate Action Network, or HVCAN, is essentially a community of policymakers, nonprofits, grassroots community leaders, educators, and businesses that are all together taking action on the climate crisis. So the network features an online platform that includes a resource library where climate leaders become more connected, efficient, and effective. And we're specifically dedicated to community building, knowledge sharing, and accelerated action to support local equitable solutions here in the Hudson River estuary bioregion. That is sort of our focus area. And I'm the director of the network, but I'm also with Partners for Climate Action, who hosts the network. And I am, you know, I'm excited about this network and this initiative because we have really learned through conversations with partners across the Hudson Valley that there are a lot of people working on climate in different capacities and have been for many years. There's a lot of great expertise here, but people have not necessarily been connected with others who are working on similar projects, and that there seemed to be a real gap in bringing people together to collaborate. You know, there are several coalitions that have been operating. You know, there are people who are connected, but we realized that if we could create a tool that we could offer to these partners to really sort of leverage relationships and bring people together, that we could be much stronger collectively together than separately. So that's sort of why we got started and why I'm excited about the launch of the network this week.
Now, when you say the Hudson Valley, what's your geographical, you know, purview of the Hudson Valley?
We're based, Partners for Climate Action is based in Chatham. I'm personally based in Hudson, and we've been doing outreach in sort of the mid-Hudson area. So Columbia, Dutchess, Greene, and Ulster counties has been sort of our initial push. But we're starting to see partners from as far down as Westchester and the Capital District as well sort of join with our launch. So we're open to anyone who's part of, who identifies as being within the Hudson Valley and wants to participate in the network.
Well, one thing you mentioned in terms of producing policy, I guess, documents or so for local government. There was a group last year, Bethlehem for Tomorrow, I believe they were called, who did produce a roadmap for sustainability, which is a pretty comprehensive document that lays out, you know, what local governments can do, but also have been doing across the country on climate, decarbonization, and sustainability. Is that the type of thing that you will be producing?
We specifically, as the network, will not be necessarily producing materials. We're essentially convening the people who will hopefully be producing these types of materials for their communities. We're really hoping that this can be a platform where local elected officials and municipal volunteers and organizations working on climate initiatives can really sort of find the space and time to connect. And, you know, we have a resource hub that's part of the platform that includes, you know, different topical folders such as climate change, general information related to climate science and communicating climate change. We have a Hudson Valley specific folder that looks at some local data, looks at very specific local community resources. We also have a government folder that sort of from the local to the international includes some model policies and tools that folks can use. We also have a justice and equity folder. Obviously, that's sort of infused within all of our resources, but we have a dedicated folder to look at sort of just transition principles, environmental health, local data related to environmental justice communities. We also have a natural systems folder, a built systems folder, and a social systems folder that includes several tools that we hope will be useful to municipalities as they think about developing climate action plans and pass local resolutions and sort of align the work that's happening locally with what's happening at the state level around implementation of the Climate Act. So that's our hope here. We also have a funding opportunities sort of section. So we want to promote our own funding programs from Partners for Climate Action. We have an ecological restoration grants program with a deadline of September 30th to apply. But we also are promoting state funding opportunities and anyone else in the network who wants to share potential funding opportunities with the network.
Now, I understand on Thursday, September 15th, I believe at 4 o'clock at Basilica Hudson, you're having some type of community launch or event?
Exactly. We are launching the network and holding a launch party and a gathering for climate allies across the Hudson Valley. And it will be at Basilica Hudson on the 15th from 4 to 7. And it's really intended to be a gathering space. We want it to feel festive, and we want people to feel welcome to come and connect with the local community and to sort of help build the network. And we're partnering with several other organizations such as Basilica Hudson, who's hosting us, Catskill Mountain Keeper, For the Many, New Yorkers for Clean Power, Northeast Carbon Alliance, Rivers and Mountains Green Faith Circle, Sustainable Hudson Valley, and Toolshed. And we are also, this is sort of a kickoff event for Climate Solutions Week as well, which begins the following week in the Hudson Valley. So I hope folks will join us at the event on the 15th.
So what are some of the, I don't know, events you are planning for the coming year? And what are some of the perhaps, you know, inspirational efforts already underway in the Hudson Valley that you guys may want to, you know, share with other communities, both in the Hudson Valley, but, you know, Greater Capital District?
Yeah, thanks. So the idea that behind the network is that it's both an online communications platform, but it's also a community of practice. And so the idea is to organize and coordinate and co-sponsor events with partners across the region. So we intentionally want to move our programming around. So we're going to start in Hudson, you know, in Columbia County, where we're based, but we want to partner with members across the river and up and down the Hudson Valley to, you know, organize events that showcase projects that are happening, that sort of connect with ecological restoration projects, that sort of really demonstrate the scope of climate action that's happening in the Hudson Valley. So that's our intention. You know, part of the network is an events calendar as well. And so we have quite a robust listing right now. We're hoping it's sort of a central place where partners will want to share their events that that we might not be co-sponsoring, but then also to promote those events that we are. In terms of sort of other activities, we also, you know, I think I mentioned the working groups that are part of the network. You know, we have several groups that have sort of approached us to organize their own members or their own coalition within the network. And so there's some exciting activities happening there. We currently have a Climate Smart Communities and Clean Energy Communities working group. That's more of sort of an information sharing space so that municipalities can learn from other local municipalities on their successes. And we also have a Hudson Valley Libraries for Climate Action. And that sort of grew out of a partnership we have with the Mid-Hudson Library System called our local Libraries of Local program. And our local Champions program is also sort of housed as a working group within HVCAN. And we also are working with the Mid-Hudson Regional Sustainability Coalition, New York Renews Coalition, which is a statewide coalition. We're sort of gathering Hudson Valley area members to be part of this working group to sort of activate what's happening here locally. We also have a pollinator group. Anyone working on pollinator habitat and initiatives could come to that space to learn more.
I'm talking to Joshua Cohen, Director of Hudson Valley Climate Action Network. People want more information, get a website.
HVCAN.org.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Brand new music there from Mouse on Mars. The album's AAI, and the song was Go Tick there on the radio at WGXC. Here is Hudson's Buchan Gase performing with So Percussion that works out of Bard College sometimes, often. This release came out this year. It's called A Record Of from 2021, and this is the full version of Diazepam. From Buchan Gase and So Percussion on the radio at WGXC. 2021 music from Buick and Gase from Hudson there with the song Diazepam on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Just a